this service, I just want to start with a question and ask you, why did you come here? Why are you here today? I know it's our annual Christmas service. Fought the traffic, the crowd, the weather conditions. Woke up early to make a 9 o'clock. I expect to see this many people back next week for Sunday school at 9:30 as we have today. Why did you come here? And I know it's to celebrate the birth of our Savior, and a couple of weeks ago I said I want us to think of it more than just the birth of Jesus, but the birth of saving grace in which eternal life started to breathe. Everlasting hope started to take breath. The birth of a Savior. If I could just read a couple of scriptures with you this morning and make one big point and add a couple of things to it. I know why you're here. It's the birth of Jesus. I know it's a busy season. We sing songs of. We light trees up. We exchange gifts with family and friends, all as we celebrate the birth of Jesus. If I could read the prophet Isaiah wrote in the 7th chapter, verse 14, he said, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." 2 chapters later into the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, you read, in the 6th verse, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." You read on that his kingdom will have no end. These were written by the prophet Isaiah, also referred to as the Eagle-Eye Prophet, as he saw things almost 700 to 900 years before the birth of Jesus ever took place. So again, the question is, why are we here? If I could just over the next few minutes make this one big point, this one main point, to answer the question of which why we are here, it would be to simply answer the question with this one answer: the beauty of Christmas. What is the beauty of Christmas other than a baby laying in a manger as prophesied about? What is the beauty of Christmas to you? Well, I just read in Isaiah 7 that he shall be called Emmanuel. If you were to fast forward 700 or so years to the time in which Mary and Joseph walked the earth, you remember the story in which Mary was met by the angel and informed of what was going to happen. Joseph, her fiancé, was going to break the wedding off and the marriage off. However, as he lay in sleep one night, the angel appeared to him also and said to take Mary to be his wife. The angel went on to say that she would conceive from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Up until the time in which Jesus walked the earth, from the time of Moses, God began to establish his people. And over the years of that establishment, there was a place in the temple known as the Holy of Holies in which the Spirit of the Lord dwelled, and only the high priest could ever enter into, not the average Joe or Joanne could ever go into it. Simply the high priest. Many of you may be familiar with the story in which you recall in the gospel accounts as Jesus died upon the cross, there was a veil that separated the temple. In the temple, the Holy of Holies, with the rest of the place. And if you remember this, the story of Jesus on the cross, that veil was actually torn in half. So what is the beauty of Christmas to me and to you? And if we could just sum it up in one word, it would just simply be Emmanuel. Meaning, in the book of Matthew chapter 1, if you continue reading in verse 23, Emmanuel literally means God with us. So you're here today at the 9 o'clock service to celebrate the fact that God sent his son, and his son shall be called Emmanuel. The beauty of Christmas is summed up in one understanding that before Jesus Christ, we cannot have confidence in approaching the throne room of grace. We cannot have confidence approaching our Father, our Creator. But the beauty of Christmas is that there is a new way. What I mean by that is this. All the way back into Genesis chapter 3, and since then, people have lived in sin. And maybe you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, and I pray that as you leave this place today, you would. But as we choose to live in sin, we know that the wages of those sins are death. Death isn't just simply the physical death that we have here on this earth and are buried in the ground, but it is a spiritual death or a spiritual separation. But the Bible also tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life found in Christ Jesus. So the beauty of Christmas to me is this. There was one time in all of our lives because of sin, and this goes back decades and generations in the past, that kept us separated from God, a barrier in the way between us and him. The reason is that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Therefore, we can never on our own and in and of ourselves ever get ourselves back into right status with a holy, righteous God. However, God loved us in this way, that he sent his only begotten Son. So what that means to me today as we celebrate the beauty of Christmas is that what once used to be a barrier, what used to separate us between God and man, 2,000 years ago as Jesus came, born of the virgin prophesied about, we understand that the beauty of Christmas is not just the fulfillment of that prophecy, but a birth of a promise. The birth of the promise that God is with us. And the reason it gets me excited today, and the reason I get excited to preach every week, the reason I get so excited when people call upon the name of Jesus Christ for the first time, the reason I get so excited when I see people consistently walking in their faith, the reason I get so excited when I see people baptized in Jesus' name, the reason I get so excited to preach every week, and the reason I'm so excited that you are here is because there was one time a barrier in between me and my God, me and my Father, just as there was for you. But the beauty of Christmas is really, since we can never remove the barrier, it is as if God removed it himself. Did I scare you? Y'all thought I dipped out of here. But anybody here thankful that we have a God who took the barrier upon his back and his shoulders as he hung on the cross 2,000 years ago? Anybody in here thankful for that? Can we just give Jesus a hand clap of praise today? You have a God that said 2,000 years ago, I love you in this way. I know that you cannot ever bring yourself, I can never bring myself to in a right status with a holy and a righteous and a perfect God. So he came to live as the name Emmanuel translates with us. And the beauty of Christmas is simply that prophecy fulfilled, that God be with us. But through Jesus was also the birth of a promise that whenever those of us who call upon the name of the Lord, for those of us who call upon Jesus Christ as Savior, for those of us who choose to follow him, choose to live for him, choose to love him, choose to glorify him, those of us who serve him and follow him, the promise isn't just now that God is living with us in physical form, but it is truly that God lives in us. And the beauty of Christmas is that the prophecy was fulfilled, yes, as many were. But the promise was birthed. So what is the promise of God being with us? Well, it's a promise of presence. If you think about the famous words penned by David as he wrote the 23rd Psalm, even though I walk through the deepest or the darkest valley, or some translations state, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. The beauty of Christmas is that you and I have an opportunity and an invitation to live in a one healthy relationship with our God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Paul wrote the famous words that if God is for us, then who could be against us? Paul also wrote the famous words that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead does what? Lives in us. So the beauty of Christmas today, and the reason I like to celebrate, and is, like I said 2 weeks ago, it's more than just a sweet baby boy wrapped in a manger. It's more than that. As I mentioned before, this nativity scene, it didn't look like this. All right, this is just how they make money off y'all, because you want to buy all these cool, nice-looking knickknacks. All right, it didn't look like that. It was most likely hidden in a cave, part of a manger. The Magi didn't show up for nearly 2 years. The beauty of Christmas isn't this beautiful, and I guess it's not this well lit and this glorifying in appearance. The beauty of Christmas is so much deeper than anything that we could ever see or touch or feel or smell. The beauty of Christmas is that you and I, who were one time dead in our sins and our trespasses, have an invitation to live in a real relationship with our God. That is the beautiful thing of Christmas, is since none of us could ever elevate ourselves to the point of reaching heaven, putting ourselves in a right relationship with God our Father, heaven came to earth. And as Jesus was laying in a manger, wrapped in probably Pampers or cloth diapers back then. I'm not sure if Pampers was around yet. As he laid there, I can't help but to think there was a promise spoken to Abraham, if you can just enlighten me to this. It kind of looked like it does on the screen. God told Abraham, you see the stars in the sky. I'm going to make your descendants as so. Meaning, through your lineage and your name and through your people, you're going to have so many people through your family and then eventually reached by God's people that you won't even be able to count the number. So I can't help but to think, as sweet baby Jesus laying in a manger was likely sleeping or crying, could you imagine Mary and Joseph? What if they just took a second and looked up into the sky, saw all of the stars above them, and each of those stars would represent one person? I'm not sure how many stars were in the sky that night. We do not have evidence of it. But if you could just enlighten me to this one thought, that as he laid in the manger, people surrounded him and started to worship this new Savior, this King that was prophesied about hundreds of years ago. We know the story of the great star, but could you imagine how many stars were in the sky, and each one of those would have represented one person? Each of those would have represented the followers of Jesus Christ. Each one of those would have represented the people that came to faith in him. So the beautiful thing about Christmas isn't just Christmas trees and Christmas carols and Christmas crack. Y'all know anything about that? Christmas candy and fudge. And I already told my wife this week to not expect anything healthy in my house. We're going heavy this week. We're going to eat well. We're going to celebrate well. But that's not it. And you can get the greatest gift and the greatest toy and the name brand this or the Black Friday deal that. But the clothes will eventually fade out. The vehicle will rust or be sold. The beautiful thing about Christmas is that you have an opportunity and I have an opportunity, not just today, but every day, to live in relationship with a holy, righteous God. And the reason I built the barrier, I don't know if some of y'all are a lot smarter than I, but I wanted to give you a visual of, did you see what color the barrier was? It's kind of dim in here. Some of y'all can't see very well. I know some of y'all can see real well. But it was a black barrier. And we all know that black represents sin. It's kind of tight in here, man. Y'all could have came to 10:30 and helped with the crowd in here so I could walk around and do this. But it was black because it represents sin, represents separation. We just sang a song about the light of the world. Jesus referred to himself as the light of the world. So the beautiful thing about Christmas is as Jesus was born, there was also so much else that came that night. Light came to those living in darkness. Hope came to those who felt hopeless. Help came to those who feel helpless. And the beauty of the promise being birthed through Jesus is that God literally lives with you. And that's something to praise God for. Because what that means is that God lives with me when things are good and when things are bad. God lives with me when I get the raise and when I'm looking for employment. God is with me when I'm healthy and God is with me in the hospital. God is with us when we start making funeral arrangements for a family member or a loved one. God is with us. God is with us when the doctor calls or when things are going well. God remains with us. The beautiful thing about one promise of God being fulfilled is that he makes one promise and he keeps one promise. That means every single promise that he makes, he must keep. So the promise to never leave you nor forsake you will also be kept. And if I could just read the Isaiah words one more time. You have a Bible, it's in Isaiah 7. I'm not going to ask you to turn there. I just want to read Isaiah 7, verse 14 again. He says, "The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, shall call his name Emmanuel." If I could just make the one big point, if you haven't noticed already, is this one promise. It was a prophecy. And it is a reality wherever you are today, whether you came in brokenhearted or feeling like you're on top of the world, whether you feel like you're literally walking in a valley low or you feel as if you're on a mountaintop. The beautiful thing and the big point in this whole idea of Christmas to me, and the one thing I want to remind my girls of and everyone that ever comes into this place, is that Jesus Christ came to live with you. Because nothing brings more glory to our God than his creation, his children, honoring him in all that they do to the way we love, live. So this Christmas season, the question is, how do we celebrate? Or what do you do for Christmas? You know, traditions change, and family dinner dates change, and kids' interests change. Gift ideas change. But the one thing that has not changed and never will change, that God chose you me. As he came born, We know the rest of the story, that he would grow to be a 30 to 33-year-old man that would give himself up on a cross. And we know that the cross would never be seen if it wasn't for the manger, if it wasn't for the birth. And we know the story of Mary and Joseph as they walked to Bethlehem. And as Mary rode on the back of a donkey, we know that Jesus didn't come in the greatest form or fashion, but he came wrapped in humility to give us a symbol that he came to be with all people. So if I could leave you with this one thought before we close our service in communion and worship anymore, it is just simple. I know why you're here. It's Jesus' birthday. All right, this is nothing new. You're here to celebrate the birth of Jesus. That's Christmas. But if I can just leave you with this thought before you leave, and I pray to God that every single person in this place either knows Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior or will soon come to that. Jesus came to save his people from their sin. One of the greatest fears I think that we could ever live with, and you can raise your hand if you've ever felt it, is the fear of being alone. Has anyone ever felt the fear of just being left alone? Abandoned. Loneliness. It is the greatest fear that I could live. Public speaking, I'm not any good at it anyway, so I'm just over that one. All right? Once you put so many people to sleep, you just stop worrying about it. And then death, I mean, it's going to come, and the rate of my Dr. Pepper intake and my fried food intake is going to come much earlier than it should probably. But that's okay. I'll have a good time until that time comes. But my greatest fear is truly being left alone. I could not imagine if something were to happen to my wife and my kids, and I were to truly be left alone. That is the greatest fear that I live with. I love you all, but I love my wife and my girls. And if something were to happen to them and I were to be left alone, I don't know how I would cope. But the beautiful thing is that no matter what happens to them, this life is not about them. It's not about the relationships we build or the legacy we leave. The promise is, and the beautiful thing about Christmas is, we have no fear to ever be left alone. Because we serve a God who chose us, called us, loved us in this way that he came and he sent his only son so that you and I could live in relationship with him. So when we walk through the valley moments, he's with us. Whenever the Bible says when we seek him with all of our heart, we can find him. How do we find him? Because he must be pretty close. He's close to the brokenhearted. He came and he died and he rose again to offer something to us that we could never earn or buy. It is simple. It is the answer or the solution to what I believe is my greatest fear of being alone. It is relationship. So as you go on your Christmas season, as you leave here, as you have fun with family and friends, I can just remind you one more time that Emmanuel means God is with us. So regardless of how Christmas goes for you, no matter how good things may be in the new year, how many resolutions you have set, no matter how painful it may be either, even, the beauty of this Christmas season is that your God came so that you and I can live with him. And as we get ready to take communion together, if I could just ask you to join me in prayer. And I want us to just truly just ponder this thought of God choosing to step down from glory, to walk this earth, to live with us.